बार हम सब परिवर्तन करेंगे सब भगवान गणेश ऐसी बाकी रहन का स्वामी अवतार की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव हिंदू की इस पर पंगा चला शिवा अवतार की नाम चला शिवा है दास की दोनों से कबूल श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निचनंदा श्री रेखा गदादा श्री राशिदी गौर भक्त All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gaur and Gaur. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Thank you.
Just when the personality of Godhead entered into the elements by his energy, all living entities were enlightened into different activities, just as one is engaged in his work after awakening from sleep. Okay. Every individual soul remains unconscious after the dissolution of the creation, and thus enters into the Lord, which is material energy. These individual living entities are conditioned souls everlastingly, but in each and every material creation, they are given a chance to liberate themselves and become free souls. They are all given a chance to take advantage of the Vedic wisdom and find out what is their relationship to the Supreme Lord, how they can be liberated, and what the ultimate profit is in such liberation. By properly studying the Vedas, one becomes conscious of his position and thus takes to the transcendental devotional service of the Lord and is gradually promoted to the spiritual sphere. The individual souls in the material world engage in different activities according to their past unfinished desires. After the dissolution of a particular body, the individual soul forgets everything. But the all-merciful Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart as the witness, the super soul awakens him and reminds him of his past desires. And thus he begins to act accordingly in his next life. This unseen guidance is described as faith. And a sensible man can understand that this continues his material bondage in the three modes of nature. The unconscious sleeping stage of the living entity just after the partial or total dissolution of the creation is wrongly accepted as the final stage of life by some less intelligent philosophers and scientists. After the dissolution of the partial material body, a living entity remains unconscious for only a few months. And after the total dissolution of the material creation, he remains unconscious for many millions of years. But when the creation is again revived, he is awakened to his work by the Lord. The living entity is eternal, and the wakeful state of his consciousness, manifested by activities, is his natural condition of life. He cannot stop acting while awake, and thus he acts according to his diverse desires. When his desires are trained to the transcendental, in the transcendental service of the Lord, his life becomes perfect, and he is promoted to the spiritual sky to enjoy the torment of waking life. Om Jnana Terminasya Adhanam Jnana Shalakam Saksha Uttam Yena Tatman Shri Dhirudhinam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Svatitanya Nidhikala Swami Parparamayam Dhabayam Svastanam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Kukunatiyam Shri Dhirudhinam Shri Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been on the topic of creation for quite a long time, and it's continuing. It's a very important subject. Otherwise, Bhagavatam would not have discussed it so elaborately. And so, it's important that we pay attention because science also presents another way of explaining the origin of things. And if we don't know what the Bhagavatam is saying, then we tend to accept what they are saying. So it's good to pay close attention so we have a clear idea of what is taking place. So all the souls within the material world are given 4,320,000,000 years to work out their desires. And they are given 8,400,000 species to fall within, to enjoy different desires. In fact, Srila Prabhupada wrote there 8,400,000 types of desires. That's why we get these 8,400,000 species. If you want to fly high, if you want to swim, if you want to jump, whatever. There are so many life forms, so many species to go into and experience these things. So there's so many desires to you. And at the end of all these desires, or at the end of all these sense gratification, the jiva gets the form to go into the human body, where he could stop all of this and go back to spiritual world. But this does not happen. Really, the soul becomes entangled in this samsara, like repeated birth and death. And he becomes allured by sense gratification. And so he takes on bodies after bodies. When he reaches the human form, he works with the laws of karma. At the end of life, he goes to the hell's planet, he goes to the heaven planet, then he comes home now. And the cycle continues perpetually. And so Prabhupada wrote here, he's eternally conditioned. But really he's not supposed to be eternally conditioned, but because of misuse of the independence, as explained in the last chapter in the fifth canto, in the fifth verse, the last verse in the fifth chapter. Originally all the souls were in the spiritual world, but when falling into this world and misuse the independence, then he's called Nitya Bhava. He's said to be eternally conditioned. And he's wandering from species to species, planet to planet, all the time. See? A never-ending chase of sensual gratification. But when some of the smart souls take to Krishna consciousness, then they understand the futility of all this sensual pursuit. And they become Krishna conscious fully themselves, and they give it. They try to spread it and give it to others. So this is our mission and our goal. So these souls, they fall into these categories. And the scriptures give the categories, and so we'll go through them. 8,400,000 species stated. Jala Jana Valakshana. Jala comes from the word water, right? So the souls living in the water, the aquatics. Navalakshana, 9 lakshani, 100,000. So 900,000 species in the water. Then stated, Stavara Lakshavinshati. Stavara are considered the immovables. The immovable species, those are species that cannot move. Like all the trees and plants and twigs and vines and everything. They are called unmovables, and possibly like rocks and so forth. See? So they're stated here, Lakshavinshati. That is 2 million species. Then there is Krimayur Rudra Shankaya. Krimayur, the insects, and Rudra, reptiles. Shankaya. That's 1,100,000 species. See? 1,100,000 species. Pakshinam Dasa Lakshanam. Pakshinam is called the birds. Those that fly. And there, Dasa Lakshana. Dasa means 10 Lakshana, 100,000. So that's 1,000,000 species. And then there is Trimsa Lakshani Pashava. Trimsa Lakshani. Pashava is the animals, or the four-legged beasts, or four-legged creatures. And those are 3 million. And then it's Yes, Satya Lakshani, Manusha. Manusha comes from the word man. Man and Mahanava. Not all are men. This would include like the demigods and apsaras and the gandharvas and the siddhas and the bhutas and all these teachings, they're manas, and those are 400,000. So total we have 8,400,000 species, but unlimited amount of entities. Each species has uncountable. We cannot fathom with, you know. I guess due to our infinitesimal nature, you know, it's sometimes difficult to comprehend the vastness of the living entities and even the universes and the planets and so forth. It's difficult because we're so tiny, you know, and when we hear about them we become bewildered. But in terms of species, I mean, if you look just in the lecture here, just at the temple, yeah, look at the amount of grass there is. You know, if you could come, would you be able to come? You can't come. And then, what about the insects and the microbes and stuff like that? Impossible to pattern. So all of these came. But these species came through the creative process. And the scriptures also explain it. And maybe I will quickly run through some of those so that we get an understanding of that. So it's stated that the men and animals are born from the womb. The birds, snakes, turtles, fishes, crocodiles are born from eggs. Plants are born from the seeds and slips. Insects lay their eggs in water or moisture and so forth. So all these souls, so the souls will enter the egg, the womb, the slips, and so forth. Always by the arrangement of the universe. So there's no chance in any of these things that are taking place. It's all directed properly. Science cannot fathom this part. See, they cannot fathom this part. That's why we have theories that actually are misleading. But we'll get to that later. But all these things have direction, proper direction. So it's important for us to know this way so that we don't become bewildered by it. So now, it's stated from the wives of Kashyapa and his daughters came out all the lower species. See? So it's stated, well, some higher species too. From Aditi, which is the wife of Kashyapa, came the Adityas. And do we know who are the Adityas? The Adityas are the demigods. And then we have from Diti, which is another word, came the Daityas. And the Daityas are the demons, all the categories of demons. Then from Danu came the Danavas. The Danavas are also a type of demons. Then from Kashta comes the horses, Arista, the Gandharvas, Sura, the Rakshasas, Ila, the trees and orbs, Muni, the Apsaras, Krodavan, Pishasas, Tamara, the birds, Surabi, the cows, Sarma, the wild cattle, Tini, the marine creatures. So these are from the wives of Kashyap. And so Kashyapa is the common link to all these species. See? When you study genes and genetics and so forth, the sciences speak about the common link, you see? And then his daughters, they say that from Shuki came the parrots and the owls. Then from Shani, or Shinan, came the hawks. From Basi came the ospreys. From greedy came the vultures. From so greedy came the pigeons. From sushi came the cranes, swans, aquatic birds. From Venata came Garuda and Aruna. From Surasa came the mother of the serpents. She was the mother of the serpents. And from Kadru came the cobras, which included Shesha and Vasuki. So basically from these, from the wives of Kashyap and from the daughters, came all the species. They didn't explain so much about microbes, but I guess, you know, within that, I mean, there's somewhere that those also came about, you know. But so we can see that all of these species, they did not come, because from the perspective of the scientists, due to the genetic changes, then gradually the species arise. So gradually from one cellular creature to two cellular and so forth, gradually all the creatures that we see, all the species that we see, came about through genetic changes. So for them, they would not accept this creative process. See? And so, in one sense, we can refute what the evolutionary concept is saying, see? By our concept. I mean, to falsify evolution would be a little more difficult, but we can also show that the changes that are taking place are not creating new species, but smaller species, as Bhagavatam says. But we'll get into that later on. So all these species, they have a chance for different forms of sensual gratification, like I said earlier. And gradually they're migrating from the lowest coming up, slowly, slowly, slowly. And by the time they reach the human form, then it's time to actually give up the sensual person and take the self-realization. But unfortunately, that is actually difficult. See? Even the human species, sensuality is very prominent. And especially in Kali, it becomes most prominent. See? Sensuality, sensual gratification. In fact, man knows more ways of having sex than the animals. Or man knows more ways of having other sensual pleasures than the animals. You see, because the misuse of the intelligence, these things take place. See? So we fall in a vicious cycle, and especially in Kali. In the other ages, it was not so much. But in this age, it's very difficult. So then, what Lord Krishna says, Bhuta Bhuta Praliyati. Again and again, they fall. They come, a whole day of Brahma. Day of Brahma is 4,320,000 years. No, 4,320,000,000 years is the day of Brahma. And we have all the time, 4 billion years to finish our life, but then no. We end up becoming annihilated at the end. At the end of Brahma's day, all beings are annihilated. And then all the species go into what you call dormancy for the same amount of time. So we are active for 4 billion years. And we become inactive for another 4 billion years.
4 billion years we stay active, and then the night of Brahma we stay inactive in the body of Lord Krishna. And then we come out back. So one more question is saying. Avyaktayad sarva prabhavanti ahar agale. When Brahma Day is manifest, this multitude of living entities comes into being. And at the arrival of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. Bhuta gamasa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyati. Again and again the day comes, and this host of beings is active. And again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helpless to leave the world. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it also stated that Lord Vishnu gets a little upset with the living entities. Because they're constantly coming in the margin and then coming out back and then be active again in sensuality. And then they go back and merge again in his body. So sometimes the demigods have to beg him to release the jivas. See? Beg him to release the jivas. Because the jivas, you know, they come out with the expectation, well, now they will take to spirituality and go back into spirituality. But they get back into sense gratification again. And this sense gratification is so sweet, you know, that they are not bothering about the distress that comes. But actually, they are more distressed than sense gratification in this world. You see, but for the little pleasure, like Srila Prabhupada used to say, you know, you get someone and you dock him in the water, and then raise him on back. You know, he goes into the water, so he's suffering. And then his head comes back up, and he says, oh, wow, this is real. And then he goes down again, he's suffering again. And then he has to. So this is what's taking place in this material world. Even in the animal species, have you ever seen how the lion grab the impala? They eat it. I mean, a lot of these animals would eat the other animals alive. Imagine you standing there, like I would see a giraffe or say a zebra standing there, and the hyenas eating them alive, ripping out their gut, you know, their entry, something alive. Or the gator grab a wildebeest and it's eating it alive. Grab it, pull out a whole chunk. So look at the misery. You see, look at the misery one is going through for a little sensual pleasure. And still, but the animals cannot understand it. But when the jiva comes to the human platform, he can see the miseries that's taking place in the world and understand. You see? And of the humans, the devotees, especially the Krishna devotees, they have a higher awareness. I mean, they can understand more. But even the Krishna devotees also fall back into slumber sometimes. We have 2,000 devotees here, and just a few fortunate souls come regularly to the court. Actually, I should commend all the devotees that come regularly. And if it wasn't for Prana Govinda and his disciples, there sometimes the temple is completely empty. You see? So we have to be always grateful to Prana and these boys that are here. But also, we cannot leave out the other stalwart devotees like Nagaraj and Prabhu and Parnapur and so forth. I'm really bad with names, so y'all forgive me. I don't know. But the devotees that come daily, every day here, Mother Mukhya, all the pujaris, all the cooks, everyone, you know, we got to be so grateful to them already. They are keeping Prabhupada's mission alive. But remember, we got almost 2,000 strong head here, you know. So I think sometimes it's time for them to consider. Even if they come once a week, or if this everybody, if they take turns and different devotees come, you know, then this movement can grow so much more. Engage in Harinam. There's so many ways for us to preach. See? So these entities, it stated, Bhuta Bhuta Palayati, again and again. Come and go, come and go. Bhuta Bhuta Palayati. We can say this over and over again because it's taken. That's all our Krishna is saying. Over and over. Bhuta Bhuta Palayati. Again and again they come into sensual gratification and then they march for another 4 billion years, come out back, go in back, come like that. See? So when we come to this human form, we actually have to put a stop to it. And now we should try to make this our last lifetime and go back to the spiritual world. Where everything is satyat and anandavigara. Everything is eternally blissful and happy. See, here it's different. So, I want to touch upon another point where the scientists don't fully comprehend what the genetic changes are doing. And I will explain that a little bit. When the scientists observe the cells, they can see changes are taking place. They can see genetic changes. But they misinterpret these changes to be changes to new species and so. You know, within the evolutionary theory, there's what you call natural selection, adaptation, mutation, and so forth. All these things come about to help the living entities to be the best of itself. You see, that's one. And then generate new species. But Bhagavatam has a different story. And hear what Bhagavatam is saying. Shri Yamaneshu Deheshu Dehinam Kalido Shataha. By the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size. So what this is, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size. So what is this saying? Is that all creatures are gradually getting smaller and smaller and smaller with time, minutely. So the scientists see the changes that is taking place, but they didn't know that this is ordained, you know, or this is structure. They don't know. They can see genetic changes, but they don't know what direction it is going. But all creatures are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There. Then it's stated, Shaga Prayeshu Dhineshu. The cows would be like goats, getting smaller and smaller. Anu Prayeshu Odaishu. Sami Prayeshu. Stash no tree. Plants and herbs will be tiny, and all trees will appear like dwarf sami trees. You see? So all the plants also are gradually. Remember, if you remember some part, it was saying that there are mango trees, so many yojanas flowers. All the creatures in Satya were great, huge, you see? And so gradually all the creatures are getting smaller and smaller. Animals, plants, everything. Smaller and smaller. Through the ages. Satya, Treta, Dwarka, and Kali. And so by the end of Kali, everything gets very small. So this is, these are the changes that are taking place. You see? So, but this is structure, this is ordained. This is how it should be. You see? It's not an haphazard change that's taking place. You see? And so the scientists sense these changes, but they don't know that it has a proper direction. Another thing I like to hint to is that they're trying to explain life without the soul. Can't take place. The soul is life. The soul gives consciousness to everything. So how can you explain that life? They believe that life arises from matter. In an ideal situation, in an ideal time, millions of years ago, the primordial soup arose. And then at an ideal time, one cellular being arose. That's the theory. No soul input. It would never happen. So in one sense, you can say these are mad scientists. Sorry to speak like that. But it would never, without the input of the soul, consciousness cannot come about. See? So life cannot take place. And then, so that's one of the theory. So we have to work to falsify that. And then the other theory is evolution. And they say, after that life arose, then evolution is doing its part, where it's creating all the species. You see? So that's, but that also is not correct. Like I stated, how Bhagavatam explained how all the species came out through creation. And then in terms of the universe, they have what they call the Big Bang Theory also. That's a chance theory, where everything was compacting like one little, like my fist here maybe. The whole universe, everything in that you see in space and everything was like the size of my fist. And then it just exploded and everything came about. You see? So, you know, there's some merit. I mean, but we cannot accept these things. You see? We cannot accept them. I'm sorry if some of our devotees don't agree with us, but this is how Bhagavatam explained things, and this is how we have to accept it. So I would stop here. I guess I cover most of the things. I mean, within the Prabhupada Prabhupada would say that the living entity should take advantage of the Vedic literatures and so forth, and learn the techniques to get out of this material. So I mean, I think I've covered those some. So I would leave. I would stop here now and hear some comments and maybe if there's some question. If Maharaj wants to give some input, we have 15 minutes. Maharaj could pitch in a little bit, give us some realization.
Of course, I can't take all the whole 15 minutes. I'll get my chance. Two things. Just kind of bouncing off the last part of your class about evolution and its shortfalls in terms of what we were hearing the other day to a certain degree. We could use, we don't have to use religious language. If we start saying, oh, they don't understand that without the soul in these bodies, nothing would happen and there wouldn't be any development. And this we hear over and over again in the Bhagavatam, it's because of the presence of the soul and but to speak of the super soul. But we could also, what I like about some of the writings to defeat Darwinism from a scientific point of view is that they're able to restrict themselves to secular language. So instead of invoking the idea of the soul, which sounds like, oh, that's kind of now, next thing you know, you're going to invoke God. You know, okay.
Supernatural. Yeah,
don't worry, we're not going that way. You can use the word consciousness.
Consciousness.
Or even just mind. And a lot of the arguments against Darwinian paradigm is is in that way, they point out that there has to be some consciousness, there has to be some mind behind it, because there's this word that many of you are familiar with called teleology. That means there's some causal purpose, there's some, obviously there's some purpose even going from, so supposedly species to species. Things are directed towards a certain function, and millions of functions, billions of functions. So that's one idea. I wrote to Acharananda Prabhu, and I'm hoping he answers me. I hope maybe it's beneath his dignity because I'm not a professor, but I'm hoping to hear from him. Maybe I'll give him a little heads up. Are you going to answer me?
I hope I haven't offended him too.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to clarify the point I was trying to make in the class. That became a bit of a controversial discussion. More importantly, you were talking, getting more to the real crux of the Bhagavatam content and the main part of your class, in terms of all the species of life and all these developments that we hear. For me, at least, the question comes up, these are all supposed to also be in the spiritual world. Is everything that we see here is just a perverted reflection, and it's all in the spiritual world. So,
You mean these species and stuff? I mean,
yeah, all the, when talking about so many species.
No, they're not, these are within the material world.
In other words,
everything is reflected from this material world here. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in the spiritual world, no matter what type of spiritual bodily form they have, that is their consciousness, that is them, and they're all devotees, and they're all serving Krishna in according to their capacities. Sometimes we hear the plants serving in Shantaras, if they don't do that much. But they're still serving.
Let
me just finish. So, please. So, the question I have is that it becomes a little bewildering to think, because it seems like a lot of the forms in the material world, like snakes, are just envious by nature. So it seems like these forms are to facilitate material desires and expressions of envy and struggle for existence. And then we take all these forms, and now they're placed in the spiritual world, and it's kind of difficult to... of course, we hear about nice snakes and divine serpents, but not just serpents, but in general, it seems like a lot of the bodily formations in the material world are just meant to hurt others, just meant to, the food chain and all that. So it's hard for me to picture, I'm sure many of you don't have as much trouble as I do with this, and you can enlighten me, including yourself. How all these forms, they lose their envy. Is it almost like we used to have that picture, is that the picture still of the Jarikanda forest? So does it become like that, where you have the lions and natural enemies, the deers, they start kissing each other? I mean, they become close friends and all ecstatic and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. Is the whole spiritual world like a big Jarikanda forest?
you want to say something, Brian?
I was saying like everything has its origin. Mm-hmm. What Maharaj is saying is very true. You should meditate on it. So there are many pastimes. Like for an example, in Vaishnava Tosani, Sanatana Goswami Pad gives an example that sulkiness, man, between Radha and Krishna, the purpose of sulkiness is to increase the rasa, the transcendental mellow of love. To increase. Krishna is expert to relish unlimited, unrestricted
all the Russians.
You cannot say something that he is not relishing. He is. So for an example, one time, Krishna could not break his sulkiness. She was waiting, and he didn't come. So then Srimati Radharani just walked out. As she was walking out to go back to Jabat, her residence, big snake came out, as you are wanted to know about snake. Big snake came out. Now that snake is not envious, there is no envy, but he put a big hood, and Radharani got so scared, ran back and grabbed Krishna. She forgot that she had a sulkiness. And Krishna laughing, and the snake is also laughing. Then Krishna comes back. He said, "What happened? What happened?" The snake says, "This is how snakes serve Radha Krishna's union. Everything is for Radha Krishna's pleasure."
And then look, Lord Vishnu, he sleeps on the Ananta Shesha, the lotus serpent. Lord Shiva has this cobra around his neck.
Yes,
I mean, so, you know, so when you're in the spiritual world, you're king, you know. Like you get a divine hyena or a gator, or a divine
gator,
you know. Well, just, you know, I had the parrots and stuff, you know, the parrot, they were singing and arguing about Krishna and Radha and who is more beautiful and things, you know. So much wonderful story, I think. I forget what the book called.
Krishna.
So was it a black vehicle in the cult pulled up and then we got a shipment of vegetables?
Yes. Okay, so any other points? We can stop here.
Yes, we had one online comment from SDM.
Okay.
He said, curiously, SP said, quote, "That's all right, concerning more complex forms arising from simpler forms, as per conversation, either Shamasundra." He also mentioned, if considering life arising from an amoeba-like entity, then the question is, where did the chemicals come from? Yet, he, meaning Prabhupada, added, yet all species exist.
All species exist. Yes.
Right? Yes. Then he said, though perhaps not in this neighborhood. So go figure. Perhaps SP had a feeling, different arguments up his sleeve to engage in service of a charge.
Yeah. So things. One little point I want to make to you is that you see all these three scientific theory of origin. They have an atheistic connotation about it, you know. And when students go through college and so on and read about these things, you know, the tendency is to become faithless and so it's there because they're trying to prove origin without a divine input, you know, and that's the problem, you know. I mean, it's creating a great problem, especially in this time. Okay, thank you guys so much. Srimad Bhagavatam, please.